I don't think there's any question. The most famous division clincher in New York Yankee history is clearly that. The one-game playoff in Boston and everything about that. So there you go. We're honoring the Yankees, who are on the verge of clinching another division title with a win tonight or a win tomorrow or a win Thursday. The Mets are going to play the opener of their series against the Atlanta Braves. And we do have a lineup. And I can't complain, Tiki, because the nine guys I wanted to be participating in this game against Spencer Schwellenbach are the nine guys that are playing. So I got what I wanted. Or Mendy's an avid listener to the Rico. I'm not sure. Here's the exact order. No Francisco Lindor, if you're just tuning in. He's not playing. Jose Iglesias, Brandon Nimmo, Starling Marte batting third, Pete Alonso cleaning up, Jesse Winker is DHing, Mark Vientos at third base, Tyrone Taylor in center, who has to keep playing, Francisco Alvarez is catching, and Luis Angel Acuna is batting ninth and playing shortstop. That is your Met lineup against the right-hander Spencer Schwellenbach. They are facing two lefties, or at least they're scheduled to face two lefties in the next two games. If they try to play a doubleheader tomorrow,
yeah,
the Braves would lose Max Fried unless he pitched on short rest. The Mets would lose Sean Manaea unless he pitched on short rest. And the likely guys who would start instead would be Jose Quintana for the Mets and Charlie Morton for the Braves. So that's how the rotation would be impacted if they tried to play a doubleheader tomorrow, which, based on the weather forecast, doesn't seem very likely.
It's not happening, as you detailed earlier. 65% chance of rain early, and it just kind of persists throughout the day.
Yeah.
And into maybe even the weekend, or close to the weekend, Friday, right?
So yeah.
It's going to be messy.
This could be a one-game series.
Yeah. And then a doubleheader sometime after the season's over.
Well, here's the good news, Mets
Unless
fans.
They take your advice and play on Sunday.
Yeah, they're not going to do that, though it is good advice. I suggested that the Sunday games between the Mets and the Brewers and the Royals and Braves just get moved to Saturday, play a doubleheader, and then Mets-Braves on Sunday. But I don't think MLB will do it. But the Mets are in position where if they can win tonight, and then beat the Brewers over the weekend, they would need those two other games.
Yeah.
They would clinch a playoff spot that way. We'll get back to your baseball in a second, including your calls at 888-808-1019. But I don't know if you know this. Jaden Daniels' brilliant performance last night actually benefits Brian Daboll and Joe Shane.
How?
I have no idea. Sean, floor is yours.
Oh, it benefits them in a big way, Tiki.
Let's hear it.
If you were, before the Giants beat the Browns, on the fire Brian Daboll and Joe Shane bandwagon, and a lot of people said, how could you even trust them to evaluate their next franchise? Why would you even give them that opportunity? How? Based on what? I'll tell you based on what. All I saw them do on HBO and Max's Hard Knocks was salivate over Jaden Daniels, including having Brian Daboll on tape to Joe Shane. Yeah, I would trade up for Jaden Daniels. And now you're watching Jaden Daniels through 3 weeks, small sample size, and last night felt like a coming out party. Very much looked like the quarterback from this draft. So I think last night, while it was a division rival winning in prime time, and while that hurt, I think last night may have ultimately been the final touch in saving Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's job, because now we should all know.
They evaluated a kid who they didn't draft?
Well, but if they were in position, we know that that's the guy they would have picked. We know that. So I now trust them above anything else on evaluating quarterbacks. I want them back no matter what next year.
Okay. Then who's that going to be next year?
I don't know that. That's the next part, but I'm going to trust their evaluation.
Sean, how do you, on what planet do you give Earth. A GM or a coach credit for liking a prospect that they didn't draft?
They didn't pass on him, Evan.
No one's saying they passed on him, but they didn't get him. They don't get points because they liked him.
When the question was posed, is Jaden Daniels good enough that you would trade up for him? Yeah. Brian Daboll, without hesitation, said, yeah, I'd trade up for him.
We all saw it, and I agree.
But that's a big deal, though. Enormous assets.
How is that a big deal?
Come on. We did how many months during the draft? Whenever Tiki and I argued over how much do you trade up?
But they didn't. Like, the way sports works is that
in order to get credit, you got to do it.
You got to do it. Yeah, absolutely. You get credit for that. You wanted to do it.
They wanted to do it. They didn't have a trade partner. The Commanders wouldn't. The Giants won too many games at the end of the year. My point is simply this. They didn't get it. We all have debated whether Ben McAdoo really wanted Patrick Mahomes thing, right?
Yeah.
We know, without a shadow of a doubt, because it was recorded, that this regime wanted Jaden Daniels
Sean,
quarterback class where he already looks like the best guy.
To your point about Ben McAdoo, and I'm glad you brought that up. So there was always this thought, or rumors, probably leaked by Ben McAdoo, if I'm being honest, that he wanted Patrick Mahomes. Let's say it was on tape, and it was true, and it's confirmed. Yeah, Ben McAdoo was screaming on the chairs, get me Mahomes, I love Mahomes. Would that have caused you to say you have to keep him for another season?
No. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. Ben McAdoo was also tied to the past GMs and past regimes. My point is that this regime, we have been saying, needs to get the opportunity to draft and identify their own quarterback. All I am saying is the rebuttal to that from anybody is, how can you trust them to evaluate any talent because some people haven't liked the pick of Evan Neal or whatnot? I'm only saying at that position, I have tangible evidence that my regime wanted the guy that looks like the guy. I do trust them, and I wouldn't get rid of him, and I want to see them have the chance to identify another guy. I don't think that's an outrageous take.
I just don't know if there's going to be that guy. I mean,
that's for another day.
Hurt right now.
Right.
Shador is, I mean, he's interesting, but we'll see. And who's the other one? Oh, the kid from Georgia.
Beck, yeah. Beck.
Carson Beck. I got to hand it to you, bro.
And Cam Ward.
I really do, and I've heard this. Loogie warned me. Loogie said, one thing about Sean is he is going to spin anything as a positive for his team.
Oh, he'll die on the shield. He's cherry picking. No, he's
cherry. You could be positive Tommy. Why can't he be positive Sean?
Because he's cherry picking right now. You know what else we saw on HBO Hard Knocks? Them try to trade up for Drake May. You know what else we heard about? They wanted J.J. McCarthy. You know what else we heard about? They don't want Daniel Jones.
I don't think they ever wanted J.J. McCarthy.
Nah, because they could have taken McCarthy.
I said that in real time.
Ev, they tried to get a lot of quarterbacks.
No, but in fairness, there's no clip of Brian Daboll saying, oh, I love J.J. McCarthy.
No, right.
Like, he is right. I'm just saying him being right is not enough.
Did they try to trade up for Drake May? Is there a clip of that on Hard Knocks?
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't critique that point. Right. I'm talking about the J.J. McCarthy.
Okay, let's start.
And we don't know that he's a bust or stinks.
We don't know if Drake May's a bust yet.
He can't see the field and Jacoby Brissett, who's awful, is playing.
That doesn't mean he's a bust. Oh, that really doesn't.
I think he's going to end up playing at some point.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy is interesting because if Sam Darnold keeps playing this way, what do you do with him?
Sure, I think that's going to be fascinating.
All right.
But I think that it's not fair, because I think what the Patriots are doing is actually really smart. They're saying, hey, we have this veteran, let's let this kid sit, and it doesn't mean Drake May is going to be great, obviously, Tommy, but what I like the fact that a team is showing restraint and not throwing a young quarterback into the action, because sometimes you can ruin them. So declaring him a bust or saying, see, he can't play, that means he's not good. That's not fair either.
Right.
The point is, Drake May or Jaden Daniels, this administration, I'm not telling you they should be fired, but you can't give them credit for liking somebody they didn't draft.
Hold on.
They didn't draft them.
No, Evan, if we are going to constantly argue around draft time, and it's only September 24th, so we're not. If we're going to constantly argue about how hard it is to identify and find the right quarterback, and Tiki's right, maybe none of these guys will be worth it and they can't. My only point is, I know I have a regime in place that seemingly properly identified, and had they lost the games and Dable not been such a good coach, would have had this guy. Their process was right. Hmm. And I want that process to stick around when considering who this next quarterback
Tiki's
is.
He's buying this. Look, I can see in his face.
Look, because you're not wrong, but you also can't get credit for it. That makes sense.
Exactly. So you can't get credit for it.
I'm not saying credit. I'm just saying I know they're not bubbling idiots when it comes to identifying quarterback play.
That's who they wanted. You know, that was number one who they wanted. I think Caleb was going number one overall regardless. I think a lot of people are high on him. It's a work in progress. We'll see. I think all of these guys had some flaw in their game that needs to get ironed out on the NFL level. And it's hard to like predict that. We expect every kid to come in and be like C.J. Stroud, but most of them are not going to be that.
No, it's rare.
And so it's too early to say, give him credit. You can't give him credit for how they scouted him. Two, it was one great game that he's had. And three, they didn't make the pick.
Right. Which is, number three is the most important thing.
Yes.
Right. And if
they
didn't
have the opportunity to.
If you look back at last night, if you want to be honest with yourselves, like, hey, what's your biggest takeaway from Monday Night Football?
Well, Bengals defense stinks.
Okay. But in terms of how it impacts us,
right,
as a Jet and Giant fans, I would say, wow, the Bills look amazing. And the other thing I would say is, I'd be freaking worried that the Washington Commanders know what the hell they're doing. Mm. And they have a quarterback. And right now, I look at the NFC East, and obviously they all have their flaws. But the Cowboys have a quarterback. The Eagles have a quarterback. It certainly looks like the Commanders have a quarterback. Sure. And you don't.
Right.
And that would be, for me, my biggest takeaway from last night. No. Not throwing flowers at Brian Daboll because he says he liked them in a video with his feet on the table.
Evan, first of all, his feet weren't on the table when he said he would trade up for him. You got to farm your own land. I give all the credit in the world to the Commanders, and they're going to be a pain in the butt, and I think Jaden Daniels is going to be great. You need to find your quarterback to go toe-to-toe with him. But I go one step further. I don't look at that as disappointing. I look at that as we have the proper talent evaluation, and now here's the next part that I look at. Our defense kept Jaden Daniels out of the end zone, and they had to settle for 7 field goals.
Okay.
Defense looks better. And number two, Joe Burrow going to be a happy camper in Cincinnati at the end of the year?
No. Oh, you're looking for Eminem to force a trade out?
Just saying. Mm. How many more years in a row are you going to go through feeling frustrated? They're going to let T. Higgins walk there in cap hell?
They were just in the Super Bowl, so it's hard to...
But every year that passes, another year lost.
See, I like where your brain is now. You're looking at Joe Burrow forcing his way out.
Right. Frustration wouldn't be the first quarterback.
Mm. I think the biggest problem with Joe Burrow, and it's obvious, it's the hair. Like, what are you doing? Mm. When you start to pretend you're Cody Rhodes because you want to finish your story,
correct.
That's a problem.
Cody Rhodes or Eminem?
I think it's Cody Rhodes. I don't think he looks at all like Eminem. Eminem's also outdated.
He looks like Cody Rhodes for sure.
It's Cody Rhodes.
He also was at Fashion Week with the backwards.
They have one of the hot songs of the end of summer.
LL Cool J?
Yeah.
You heard that song? I've heard of LL Cool J like 30 years ago.
Yeah, LL Cool J and Eminem have a song they just put
right
out.
Now?
They just put it out.
What year is this?
It's now.
That's crazy.
I'm telling you.
Am I like crazy to not have heard of it?
Maybe.
Can you pull up Eminem and LL Cool J when you get a second?
Can I play it on the radio?
Get the clean version, please.
Yeah, get the clean version. I thought LL Cool J's clean. Eminem's dirty, but LL Cool J, hasn't he always been clean?
I'm gonna knock you out.
I was always under the impression
that was 80s LL Cool J.
So he became dirty?
No, he's not dirty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I just don't know if he says everything clean.
So just to be clear, this song you want me to play, clean version, it's called Murdergram?
Yes.
Oh, sure, it'll be very clean.
Maybe you should listen to it ahead of time. I didn't know
there's a clean version.
If there's a clean version, then you could play just a few seconds of it. We don't have to play the whole thing. We're not DJs. I'm just curious. I didn't know LL Cool J and Eminem were doing things.
See, you have the wrong algorithm in your social posts.
I clearly do.
I get all... Actually, you know what? Rondé sent it to me. That's how I got it. So, I'm on a text chain with Rondé, and he sent it to the text chain.
Oh,
that's why I got it.
I got you.
That's the reason I know.
Well, we're out two sentences.
I think in the rap and hip-hop world, even a clean version, the FCC might still not agree with. Again,
really?
The title of this song is Murdergram.
So how does it start? Give me the clean version of how it starts.
When they're talking about murder, they're not talking about actually
the start
killing
of this...
somebody. They're talking about like out-rapping them.
I think the first lyric that Sean and I heard, think Kellen Winslow Jr. in a parking lot.
Wow. So. Oh, jeez.
And as Joe would say, I'll leave it at that. I can't really get into it here. But did you hear that, Sean? Am I right?
I heard it.
Okay.
Okay. So I apologize. We're not playing LL Cool J and Eminem. Maybe I'll listen to it. Actually, you know what? I've already lost interest. Let's get back to your calls. Busy, busy, busy day. The Mets are getting set to play the Braves. The Yankees are trying to clinch the AL East. And Sean Morash has revealed that Jaden Daniels being amazing is great news for the job security of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Let's go to Kendrick and Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Hey, guys. You know, I was going to start with my Mets points, but Sean opened up the door here real quick before I get to the Mets and staying positive with them. He mentioned Joe Burrow being frustrated. Here's one, Tiki, for you. As a Jets fan, I know Devontae Adams was frustrated this past weekend, or it seems that there's some tension in Vegas.
Yeah.
Here's a name, though, that no one's mentioned, and I will join forces with the Giants fans and root for the Giants this weekend because down in Dallas, what's going on with Micah Parsons' contract situation? Because if I'm a Jet fan, I would love to offer whatever it takes to get that guy in here.
All right, you guys want Hassan Reddick? We'll make a trade,
exactly.
Straight up. You guys want Hassan Reddick? We'll take Micah Parsons.
They're not trading Micah Parsons.
No, they're not trading him. Look, the issue is that Jerry Jones wants this scream poverty, like he doesn't have any money to pay any of these guys. And he does.
Because he's paid a lot of guys.
He
I think
has,
that's the
but
problem.
He still has the money to do so. The challenge, obviously, with a bunch of big deals for superstar players, Kendrick, is that whatever you guarantee them, you have to put away.
Right.
Right? It goes into escrow. So now he doesn't want to like keep stacking these hundreds of millions of dollars away in the guarantees for his star players. But he's going to have to.
Micah is on his rookie contract. He's got the fifth year option, which has been picked up for next year, which is like $22 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's scheduled to be a free agent, but it's never going to get that far.
Which, by the way, is good money, but it's not quite close to the top.
The top is
closer to 28 or 30.
Right. It's not close to the top, and you don't have the guaranteed contract for multiple years. It's only one more year.
100%. I'm just fantasizing over that as a Jet fan for the fact that they've already paid their quarterback. And I don't know how many more big contracts they can give out when they have no talent outside of those three guys, really, it seems like. But
going to the Mets, getting destroyed.
Absolutely. Going to the Mets here quick. Evan, the first hour, you said demon as if you were the booking agent for Finn Balor so many times. Do you still sleep with the nightlight? Because you are so scared right now for no reason.
Oh, there's reasons, Brian. There's reasons to be scared of the Braves, man. Come on.
Not as a grown man.
No. Forget about being a kid or a grown man. Look at the pitching matchups. Spencer Schwellenbach shut them down the only time they've seen him. Chris Sale's one of the best pitchers in the National League. Marcell Ozuna is a disgusting human being, but he's been raking this year. Like, Matt Olson's red hot for a month. Like, I'm not making this up. There's reason to look at this team and say, wow, I'm scared.
Who cares about those guys? They're not on our team. You're the same guy, Evan, at the beginning of the year that wanted Jordan Montgomery, who was traded away from the Yankees because they didn't want him pitching in the postseason. And now you're concerned with Severino's Yankee stats. Our guys have proven this year that just like the Knicks guys and the Villanova guys have changed the narrative for that side. And my whole thing is this. If you, and I know you obviously are the biggest fan and the voice of the Mets, we can't go into this series scared like the old Mets. We have a young core that's coming up. Luis Acuña shows up, and he replaces an MVP like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. He is going to come down there, and he's going to keep doing what he's been doing because this new wave of Mets culture, whatever we want to frame it as, has taken over.
Kendrick, they've got to go do it. I appreciate all the words of optimism and sentiment. They have to go do it. This team has had a wonderful season. They've exceeded a lot of expectations, and they've responded to every punch in the mouth they've gotten. Now they got to go beat the Braves. They got to go beat them.
All right.
And when they do that, or if they do that, I think a lot of us will believe even more in this team. But now they got to do it. And I think the problem, and this is the problem I had with many 2 years ago, was you discount the Atlanta Braves. You discount how good they can be. The Atlanta Braves, yeah, they're slightly above 500 the last 2 months. They've been riddled by injuries, and yet here they are. We're having a dream season. They're riddled by injuries, having a disaster, and here we are, only 2 games up. Like, there's a reason why we're only 2 games up. There's a reason why the Braves are still in it. So stop acting like they suck. Stop acting like it's not even close. Stop acting that way. Respect them. And a part of my fear is that you guys, a lot of you, don't respect the Braves. When I got mad at Sal 2 years ago about the NL East is over, he'll tell you if he remembers, I wasn't mad at him about the Mets. Mm-hmm. I said you disrespected the Braves. You're not understanding how good they are. And they are. And they were. And that's my fear. And to answer his question, I do sleep with a nightlight. What's wrong with that?
That's only because your kid sleeps in your bed with you or you need it?
It's a combination of two things. Number one, when I'm in my own bed, which is always great with my wife, there is still a light on. I like if I have to jump up out of bed to be able to see.
All right.
And then, I'm a baby. And then, yes, if I have to go to one of my son's rooms, they have nightlights. It makes perfect sense, but I'm not going to lie to him. I sleep with a nightlight.
I'm not a man.
What was that?
Our nightlight is our TV. It's always on.
Always on?
Always on.
See, I've got this automatic thing where it goes off at some point. I don't like that.
No, because then you wake up, and if you're bored, you got to find the remote control. And
The
remote. You don't want to wake your wife up.
What do you?
Because it's tucked underneath her, pillow, and then you can't, you're stuck. You're dead.
Yeah.
Because you wake her up, you're screwed.
What do you fall asleep with on? Because that's key. You fall asleep with the news on. It's very dangerous.
No, not the news. It's always something on some streaming platform, some movie we're watching or show. It's all. And so when we wake up, it's something random.
Good.
It's always what the hell are we watching? Type of thing.
I like that. Let's go to Chris up in Flint. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
Fantastic.
Well, I'm going to try to do my part to exorcise these demons. I'm actually going to go watch the Mets-Braves game up in Saginaw, which is about 30 minutes from me. And it happens to be the hometown of one Spencer Schwellenbach. I've gone to the Applebee's there before to watch him pitch against the Mets. In July, when obviously he beat us.
Yeah, 11 strikeouts in 7 innings. He was pretty good that day.
Yes. They started doing this. They announced it, you know, on our local news and stuff, you know, when he was called up. He's going to play one of his first games against the Tigers. So it was like a big deal. Right. Oh, you can watch him pitch at Applebee's. So I'm going to go up there with my Mets jersey and my Mets gear and hope to try to exorcise some of the demons with his Saginaw Heritage High School jerseys all over the wall. And maybe stick it to some of his classmates or whatever and just walk out of there with my, you know, chest puffed up and feeling good.
Get it done.
This might be the only Braves name we get this week.
Get it done.
That's right.
Get it done. Look, this is...
That's solid. That's a solid plan.
That's a nice night. That's a nice plan. And this is going to be a challenge. This kid's pitched incredibly well. You know, I'm mixed about it. Like, when you have a guy with a lot of experience, like Luis Severino has a lot of experience pitching in big games, but I talked about it at the top of the show. Yankee fans certainly know this. His experience is bad in big games.
Yeah.
So, while you would argue, he should have a slow heartbeat, he's used to this, he's pitched in the LCS, he's pitched in the DS, he's pitched winner-take-all wild card games, this is old hat for him. He hasn't been good in those games. Spencer Schwellenbach was called up in the middle of June. He's had a tremendous rookie season. He really has. He's been really consistent. But he's never faced a game like this.
Yeah.
So how does he respond to the moment?
The pressure has been is what you don't know about him.
You have no idea.
I'm just looking at his game log. I mean, he did have a blow up game a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago against Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Gave up 10 hits and 6 runs.
I'll sign for that tonight, by the way.
Right.
Give me that.
But I mean, on par, he kind of feels
he's solid. He's mostly a five or six inning, 2-run kind of guy. He's pitched well. And for a young guy who got called up in the middle of June, he's pitched well. He's the only righty they're going to see in this series, assuming the series goes according to plan, obviously. A lot can be moved around with the rain. And this is a chance for the Mets. Let's see if they can take advantage of this. I'm glad Jesse Winker's in the lineup. I have a good feeling about Jesse Winker. Sean does, too.
Yeah.
I think Sean told me off air he's hitting a grand slam tonight.
Yeah. I'm betting him to hit a home run tonight. I am.
But the reality is, out of his 19 starts, there's only been two where he's thrown goose eggs. So, you know there are going to be some runs.
Yeah, but how many times has he given up 5 or more runs or 4 or more runs?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. He's been solid.
Not a lot.
Let's go to Josh in Smithtown, who's going to accuse me of something. I don't know if I like this. What's up, Josh?
You know, I love you guys both, and I love the show, and you know, I call in regularly. But and I love Posted and Toasted. I think it's a great segment. I love the tweets you find. But last week, you posted, or you were using a post that was from Tiki. And Tiki was flabbergasted because he did not remember ever saying this. And part of the reason he was so confused is because you just happened to leave off a very important part of the tweet, which was the hashtag.
Yep.
I believe it was something about Tiki floating above the bed if he didn't fart throughout the day.
Right.
And the hashtag was things I heard today. And you leaving that out made it seem like Tiki had actually said this.
Yes.
So
that's why I had no idea that I did.
News and disinformation. You know, you got to clean that up.
By the way, this is the genesis of fake news in our world.
I want to admit why I did that, because he's right. Like, I left out that part. When I've gone through all the social,
I still wouldn't have known it was me.
Really?
But you still would have been fooled. But I would have at least considered that I had said something like that.
Gotcha. When I go through the old tweets of everyone who works here, and I'll give you the list. I'll give you the lineup real quick. Jerry Recco, Al Dukes, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, Evan Roberts, Tommy Lugauer, Sean Morash, Tiki Barber, Keith McPherson, Chris McMonagle. If I've left someone out, I apologize. When I go through everybody's tweets.
Mike Francesa?
Well, that was the first today. But maybe I should include old Mike tweets. It's easy to find Sal saying something. Well, actually, Sal's difficult because he wiped out a lot of his tweets.
Sal Licata!
Which I told him about. I was like, Sal, what are you doing? You wiped out all your tweets. But BT is one of my favorites because BT didn't wipe anything out, and I respect that. Greg Giannotti, one of my favorites, wiped nothing out. And G is so funny. He's got all these random things from like 9 years ago. I'm like, my God, he's a gold mine. Al Dukes is a freaking gold mine.
Generational talent.
I'm a gold mine. Loogie's weird. Like, Loogie didn't tweet as much as the rest of us, so it's tougher to find. Sean is a gold mine. But you... You're a challenge.
Because I don't care.
Because you don't care and you haven't tweeted in years. So to find a Tiki or to find a Boomer, it's a more of a challenge. And sometimes I've got to manipulate it just slightly. That's all.
Yeah.
I never manipulate Brandon
or me
or Loogie.
You never lie. You just omit.
I just omit. Absolutely. And I'm proud of everybody I work with because no one has scrubbed their tweets.
I was wrong.
The question is omission of information lying?
Yes. According to my wife, it is.
So true.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Speaking of wives, do you hear what Sean's wife said about me?
No. What did she say?
Sean's wife was upset with Sean because she noticed while you were off yesterday, Sean was sitting in your chair, and she told Sean, I've noticed this for a while, but I got to call you out on it. Every time Evan makes a point, you roll your eyes, and it's very disrespectful.
Oh. Do you?
How about that?
You didn't just do it, though.
I'm very conscious about the eye rolling, but apparently it's been a noticeable thing she's tallied, and yesterday was the final straw. And she's told me I need to be more respectful of Evan. And I was told to apologize. Oh, when you come
she
in, apologize
diligently to catch those.
Yeah, well, she is my biggest critic. So, and which is hard because there's a lot of them. So she said, apologize to Evan. I came in. I said, I got to be honest with you. So my wife said, I'm sorry.
You know why I think she's right? It's not about the disrespectful part. It's about the fact that I think I make a lot of good points. I don't think my points are crazy. I'm not the one. Just did it again. I say a lot of sane things. Why are you rolling your eyes at like basic thought? What am I saying that that's roll eye crazy worthy of?
Look, can we all be honest here?
Of course.
We do a great job. Everybody who hosts and has the privilege on WFN of doing so. All of us have really crappy takes, and we're not 100% all the time. And there's some things you say that when you're actually an IBO, an IFO, an IBBO, an IHO, an ISO, and every other ho imaginable, that you're just dead wrong.
I get that. Like, no one's saying we're right all the time, but like when Tiki makes a point, or I make a point, it comes with thought. Why is it have I said anything today in the course of 2.5 hours that's eye-roll worthy? You guys tell me, honestly.
I mean, you led the show thinking Luis Severino struggling in playoff games matters in September.
Of course it matters. First of all, how is that eye-roll worthy? You guys as Yankee fans blasted
because
him for years.
Because he's had a really good resurgent season.
Well, he had a really good season in 2017. How did that affect him in the wild card game?
But he was 23 or 4 years old.
But is that, you can disagree with me. How is that eye-roll worthy?
I'll give you a better eye-roll worthy. Morning or afternoon after Aaron Rodgers tears his Achilles. And you come in here saying, the win is more important.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Okay.
That was
bad. Can I respond to that?
Freezing cold.
Freezing cold. That's fine. That was a year ago. If the best you can come up with is something I said more than a year ago.
It's not the best. It's just the best example.
Yeah. I mean, you got to talk to my wife. She studied. I don't know what I'm all rolling my eyes at.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mrs. Morash. It was very kind of you. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And Tiki, be proud of me. I watched some tape last night. I did. I watched some tape, and I'm going to tell you why I have concerns about Sauce Gardner. You ready for this, Teak? Okay. I watched the tape.
Yeah.
So when we come back, along with your baseball calls, along with you getting you ready for the Mets and the Yankees, I tell you my evaluation of some tape I saw last night on why I have concerns about Sauce Gardner. That was the 1998 clincher. Tonight could be the 2024 clincher. And when you're listening to the game right here on WFAN, as Clay Holmes gets a big out in the eighth inning, and as the Yankees are finishing off the Orioles, you know what voice you're going to hear? The great John Sterling. Because John Sterling is back. His return game is tonight, Yankees-Orioles. He's calling all three Yankee-Oriole games. He'll call the weekend games against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then it's playoff time. So John Sterling returns this evening right here on WFAN. It is time for your Baseball IQ trivia question. It's presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. Name the Orioles right fielder and right field umpire involved in the famed Jeffrey Mayer catch. Back in 1996, the American League Championship Series. We'll take caller number 5 at 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326, to answer the Baseball IQ Trivia Question, and you can win a $250 American Express gift card. Your Baseball IQ Trivia Question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. So, I was watching some tape last night of a man, Sauce Gardner, and I'm very, very worried. All right? You know why?
No.
There's a video of 5 bears in his backyard. And so I'm watching the tape that he put out there of 5 bears in his backyard.
Roma Dunze?
And Sauce Gardner. And Sauce Gardner was saying, the family of bears walked by my house again. And I think they're trying to jump me. Should I call a truce with them and just start feeding them? Or should I just take care of them? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to lose my cornerback to bears.
What does he mean take care of them? Like shoot them?
Jeez, 888-808.
What's he talking about?
Let me read it again, because you're right. Do I call a truce with them and just start feeding them and taking care of them? No, I think he means...
Oh, and taking care
like
of them.
Like, they're going to become my pets.
Oh, I see.
And
are they grown?
I got video of them. This is the tape I was studying last night. Look at those bears. There's 5 of them. I'm showing Tiki. Can you describe that to the audience?
Yeah, they actually look small. They look like baby bears.
Yeah, but they're bears, bro.
Right, they're all on his deck.
They're all on his deck.
No, that's an adult. That's a mama bear.
Yeah, it's a mama bear. And they're walking as if they know what they're doing.
Is he building a new house? Is that what that is?
I don't know what Sauce is doing.
Why is the backyard so disheveled?
That's what you're worried about?
Yeah, because I'm assuming if it's disheveled, he's going to put a fence. Not that a bear can't climb a fence, but he'll put something that will prevent them from walking from the woods right behind his house into his property.
I think he's got to move. I think he's got to leave New Jersey.
No, what do you mean?
Tiggy.
Can't leave New Jersey?
Tiggy, I don't know if you know this story. I'm sure you do. As a Met fan, I once lost one of my best players to a bull, okay? To a boar.
a wild boar,
okay?
No, that's what he told you.
I can't lose my lockdown corner to a bunch of bears. I can't do it. I'm very nervous about this. Sauce, if you're listening, can you move or something?
Or just stay inside.
Stay inside.
Keep your garage locked.
Or you know what? Call animal control or something.
And when you have kids, move.
Or move. Can you shoot the bears or no? Is that not
no,
nice?
No.
You're not allowed to.
I don't think so. I think, wasn't there a bear hunt at, you guys aren't Jerseyites, so you don't know. but Jerseyans. But I feel like there was a bear hunt at one point. But I don't think it's now.
But Tiki, I'm not a hunter, but I'm a protector.
Yeah.
So I would use my Second Amendment rights to shoot the bear, not because I'm an evil guy, not because I'm anti-animal, not because I hate PETA, but because I don't want to be eaten by them, right. Nor do I want to be attacked by them.
You mean
them.
That Second Amendment right to have a firearm because, you know, the foreign country might attack us and try to work its way across the country.
Or a bear may attack me!
You needed to protect yourself?
Yes!
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That's what I mean! I mean, I got bears in my backyard. What do you do if a bear comes up to you?
Call animal control.
Feed them honey and run away.
Throw your hands in the air and make loud noises.
That's what you should do?
Yeah, to make them think they're bigger than them. That you're bigger than
them.
Are
you giving real advice?
Real advice.
So make a loud noise.
Sean, look it up. You put your hands in the air so you look bigger than you actually are.
Yeah.
Because they'll think your head is where your hands are. And then make noise.
I just want to warn you about something.
Bang pots and pans too, it says.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to warn you, because we're all laughing, we're having a good time right now. I swear to God, if I miss my cornerback for 2 to 3 weeks because he pulled a hamstring running away from a bear, I'm not going to be happy.
You just got the bear with him on that.
No. Oh, you're good.
That was a good one.
You like some of the dumbest jokes that he gives.
That was a good one.
Was that good?
Because he worked it in.
I like the Adunze joke. That made me laugh. When you said when I was like, oh, there's 5 bears in his yard, you're like, oh, Roma Dunze showed up. Like, that made me laugh. I didn't even think about the Bears.
Khalil Herbert?
Yeah.
See? DeAndre Swift?
Yeah. Let's go to John and
Cole Kmet.
John's in Garden City. What's up, John? Hello, John. Hello, John.
John, we had you for a second.
I think he's distracted. I'll put him back on hold. He's on the way to the Yankee game, which I appreciate sitting in traffic because, God forbid, our president decides not to come to New York City.
Wasn't he here last week as well?
I want to pass a constitutional amendment. I don't care if it's the sitting president. I don't care if it's one of these two candidates running. Presidents should be banned from New York City.
Especially during end of regular season baseball time.
Yes, but well said. Mm. Or end of regular season baseball and when there's a Thursday night football game coming up in a couple days. Right. You're not allowed anywhere near New York City. Tony is in Deer Park. How are you, Tony? Hello, Tony.
Hey.
What's up, Tony?
First off, Tiki, let's go Giants. But my question to you guys is... listen, we should totally be scared of the Braves. I'm a Mets fan. We should be scared.
Yeah.
But listen, we get swept. We lose all 3 games. We don't make the playoffs. This season is a bust or what? How are you feeling?
It's a bust. After the position you put yourself in, it's a bust.
Yes, if the Mets miss the playoffs, it's a disaster. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah,
right. Yeah. All right. I just wanted to say because that's how I feel. And I am definitely afraid of this next 3 games. I am definitely...
No, and I understand why you're afraid. I think a part of it is our own history. I think a part of it is trusting them to beat a team that this franchise has never beaten. You got to go back to 1969, really, to beat them in an important game. I think all of it is being afraid of the Atlanta Braves and maybe not having the full trust of this Met team. But let's make this perfectly, perfectly clear. I know I said this in August, but maybe you didn't believe me then. Because Tiki would always say, it's an evaluation season.
It is. It was.
Okay, it was.
It's not any longer.
Thank you. We're good now.
Of course we are.
It was.
You're in winning position.
Yes. They are 2 games up with 6 games to go. You cannot miss the playoffs. If you miss the playoffs, this is 2022 all over again in terms of ruining the goodwill. What people forget, and I'll remind you because I lived it, was that 2022 was awesome. 2022 was a great, wonderful, fun season.
Yep.
It may not have had the same gimmicks as this season, but it had a lot of really cool stuff, a lot of great wins, a lot of awesome memories. And it got ruined based on six games. Based on the three against Atlanta and based on the best of three against San Diego, it got ruined to where if anyone brings up 2022, it's a disaster. No one remembers the good times.
Yeah.
And so
101 wins.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
So as fun as this season was, if they don't make the playoffs, however you want to draw it up, let's say they lose two out of three to Atlanta, lose two out of three to Milwaukee, and Arizona and Atlanta win all the rest of their games and they miss the playoffs. However you want to draw it up, it would be such a massive disappointment that I think it would ruin everything else that's been accomplished. The other discussion, which I know I'll be in the minority on, but I'll just get it out of the way now, is I don't believe in just being happy to get there. So if the Mets finish the job and they make the playoffs and now they're in a best of three and then maybe a best of five and then maybe the NLCS, no matter when this season ends, I'll be devastated. It could be the World Series. It could be the LCS. It could be the Divisional Series. There will be anger and sadness about it ending because what I've learned as a sports fan from literally every team I root for is just because you think you'll be back doesn't mean you'll be back.
No, it's hard. It's hard to get back, especially in baseball because of how much can go wrong. You start getting some injuries or guys who perform well one year don't do it the next year. It's a long ass season.
It's a long ass season.
It's so hard to do the same thing over and over. It's why you respect those teams that do it over and over and over again.
No doubt.
Now, part of that respect, especially for a team like the Dodgers, is just them spending money.
Which the Mets are going
to
do.
Right. Well, but in theory, they're going to do.
Which I think they will do, but even though, because I know a Met fan can respond to this easily and say, oh, but the prospects, the money. Now, I'm not arguing that. I'm not telling you the Mets aren't in a great spot. Of course they're in a great spot. But what I remind you is, even when you think you're in a great spot, there's no guarantee you're going to get back.
Yeah.
And so when something is special, and this team does feel special, you'll want to seal the deal.
But it also feels like this is a team, because the league is this way in total, that can just potentially win any series.
Yeah, they could win the World Series. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, anything can happen
they
this
can.
Season. This doesn't feel like a year where there's such a dominance somewhere, or one team, or one division, or whatever it may be, that it's just, you're just pissing in the wind, right? It doesn't feel like that.
No, you're right.
And so it feels like this is a team that can actually get into a series, like the Phillies last weekend, and actually beat them.
They can beat anybody.
Right? And so I think
they can beat anybody. I agree.
You very rarely get that opportunity on that kind of season where you feel like your team is capable of doing that. It feels like that this year.
So make me a promise.
What's that?
And this is a very important promise from every single one of you.
Yes.
Because if you do it, I'm going to lose my freaking mind.
Do what?
I'm going to tell you. I'm just warning you before I tell you. Let's say this season continues to go well. No, I'm giving you good stuff.
Because you're usually so negative.
I'm going to give you something positive until it gets negative. They sweep the Braves. Yes. Mets make the playoffs. Right? Beat the Padres.
Yep.
Beat the Dodgers. They lose the seventh game to the Philadelphia Phillies. Okay? It was the seventh game in the National League Championship Series. I'm warning you right now, I'm going to be apoplectic.
Apoplectic. Yes.
Do not tell me.
It's always next year.
If I told you in March, you're going to go to the seventh game of the year, you'd be happy.
Don't do it. I don't care what round they lose. Division, sir.
If I told you when they were 11 under, they're going
to
get...
No. Don't do it to me. Yes. I don't care if it's the World Series. I don't care if it's the seventh game of the World Series. That is not something as a sports fan I want to hear until, and I'm going to tell you a time frame because I will be willing to hear that until 7 days after they're eliminated. We have a 7-day rule around here.
Mm.
I don't care because unlike you Knicks fans.
So no matter how they get eliminated.
Doesn't matter. I don't care if everybody gets hurt. All right. Everybody gets COVID and they don't play. Because unlike you Knicks fans who accepted your loss in the seventh game to Indiana and said, gee golly, what can you do? I'm not like that.
I think you play with COVID nowadays.
That's true. I was just trying to think of something that works.
I think you just play.
So that's the only promise I ask you guys. Now, eventually, yes, you can say, come on, Evan, take a step back. It was a wonderful year, and we could totally have that discussion. But I need 7 days. Because if you tell that to me within 7 days, I'm going to freaking lose my mind. I'm going to throw stuff at you, all of you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to curse at you. I'm not going to leave the studio. I'm going to pick stuff up that's close to me, like this pen, and I'm just going to chuck it. Mm. So don't do it.
Better not be your zebra pen.
I was going to say, is that your zebra pen?
My zebra pen is in my scorebook, which is in my office. And I'll throw that, too. Mm. I love my zebra pen, but I'm going to throw. So can we all... You promise me to?
Yeah, I promise you.
I'll give you 6 days.
6 days?
I'll give you 6 minutes.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
6 minutes?
Yes.
You're a team two.
What?
No, because there's always
you're
a way
to play Positive Tommy.
Of course
no,
I am.
No, you can't do that.
Sure positive can. Tommy. You've moved the goalposts on Positive Tommy a lot. You're like that little kid in Seinfeld with Paul O'Neill. Two home runs? First it was get to the postseason and Positive Tommy can live on. Now, and I know where this is going, well, get us past another round. Get us past. You're going to make me out to be the bad guy here
no matter what. No. You're not. I want to make that promise. You're not the bad guy. If the Mets make the playoffs and lose in any round, I will not blame Positive Tommy, unless you say something later on that provokes me. Mm. All I don't
seems
want...
Like a threat.
Well, it's not a threat. It's just, I think the positivity during like a hard-fought seven-game series could rub me the wrong way when it's delusional. All I'm asking is when they lose, if they lose. Maybe they win the World
Series. Let's go with if they lose.
All right, if they lose and the season ends, I need time before you start spinning. That's all I'm saying. I need time. I don't want spin that next day. I'm going to lose my effing mind on all of you.
But there is a spin.
No, there is
yes,
no spin.
There is a spin,
no,
Evan.
Isn't.
Yes, there
no.
is. Because
Tommy,
in order to build a
Tommy,
winning program, Evan,
Tommy,
Evan,
Tommy,
Evan,
Tommy,
Evan,
Tommy, there's no spin.
There is.
No, there isn't.
You want
to
hear it?
Because he wants to win the World Series this year.
Yes!
He's impatient.
Yes!
And I totally understand that, but there's a reason why 50,000 people are going to be in the Bronx tonight, because they built a winning program, and that's how you do it, by winning, by getting there, by getting there, by getting there.
The Texas Rangers won the World Series last year. How'd they do the year before?
Okay, I understand that the Mets can win the World Series this year,
okay,
but just because they don't doesn't mean they can't get back.
And
I understand the scars. I understand what
Tommy,
we've been through,
just
Evan.
Just because they have a great young system and a lot of money and they're building something doesn't mean they will.
Also, baseball, a lot of teams get in. It is set up this way where a lot more, you don't have to win the division
Tommy,
to win 100 games.
Tommy, I'm not telling you it's a disaster and everybody's got to go bleep themselves. I'm telling you don't spin it. Don't try to give me a back massage when I'm angry after the team gets
how
eliminated.
How excited? You? Right. I cannot wait for basketball season. That's how excited I am.
Okay,
so how dare you, because you brought them up. So how dare you bring up the Knicks and saying, well, they lived with it. You know why we were able to live with it? For a lot of reasons, but one of the big reasons is because we're excited about the program. We're excited about the future.
Yeah, but you're,
so I think Mets fans should be excited about this future.
Will you not be excited about the Mets' future?
Yeah, when did I ever say that? He's just making stuff up now. When did I say I wouldn't be excited about the future? I said I need 7 days.
But why do you need 7 days to get excited about the future?
Because the future is in April of next year. I'm thinking about now. I'm not thinking about next year immediately.
No, no, but
any loser Knicks fan that did that after they lost the seventh
that's
game in their
nerve.
Own building?
Whoa.
No, because I'm consistent, bro. I said that about Knicks fans, and you're all like, oh my God, you're just a hater. I'm saying it about my own team. I'm saying it about my own bleeping team.
You are hating.
My own team.
You're hating on your own team.
No, I'm not.
You're
I'm
the
being
most
honest.
Bizarre fan I've ever experienced in my life.
Bizarre.
Ever. Yes, because you're being negative.
I'm not being negative.
You're being negative without having anything to be negative about.
Jake, I'm just asking for your grace period.
You're creating your reaction, or you're creating the management rules for your reaction in the event that your team loses.
Who does that?
Me.
It's a great analysis.
Yeah, well done. I couldn't do that. I was just going to yell at him more and call him names.
Yeah, plus the bottom line is this. Is Jeff McNeil out for the year?
Yeah.
So no matter what happens, the Knicks are the Mets are the uncrowned champions.
Right.
You have a full complement of your stars.
Yeah, because the Braves, who just got the news Austin Riley's officially out for the year, they don't know.
But also in your scenario, Evan, listen, the Knicks got so close to a championship. They were right there. They were right on the
top. They got knocked out in the second round.
They could have touched. That's why they're the uncrowned champions. They were super close.
The equivalent of baseball is they lost in the divisional series.
Yeah.
That's where they lost. Now, if you think that's getting close to winning a world championship, then I don't know what to tell you.
You could smell the Larry O'Brien trophy. That's how close they were. What did they do in the offseason? They got better. And
Tommy, you're changing what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the offseason. I'm not talking about their future. I'm very hyped about their future. What I'm telling you is after my team loses, and this has been going on my entire life with every team I root for, don't start spinning me yarns about the future. It's not that I disagree.
But we're talking about the present.
No. If they lose in the postseason, I'm going to be, I don't think most fans are like this, we're going to be angry in the moment. We're going to be analyzing what went wrong.
Yes.
I don't need to hear about, well, if I told you in March, you'd be happy. Juan Soto's a free agent. Shut up.
You can be angry, Evan, and you're going to do this on the Rico Bronya
that night. And then
want to
come here and pretend?
You are going to talk about Juan Soto.
No, I'm not.
That, yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. The night Evan, they it's get human nature. Yes.
No, not that night.
First of all, it's great radio, number one.
I'm not doing radio. I'm talking about the Rico Bronya.
Oh, well, it's great podcasting.
And that day, I'm not talking about the free agents and how excited I am. And by the way, if we do talk about Juan Soto within 2 days, I'm still not going to be in a good mood. I'm still not going to be like, oh, everything's great with the world. We've got Juan Soto coming. No. I'm going to be upset the team got eliminated. And I question your fanhood if you're
already making excuses for why
everything's okay.
There's no excuses. It's spinning it positively because...
Why?
So we have to sit here and drink our tears and woe is me? No, I'm not doing that. You want to do that?
Sean,
that's your business.
Sean,
but I'm not doing that.
Sean.
Yeah.
When the Giants got knocked out by the Eagles in embarrassing fashion.
Yeah.
Now, you weren't doing sports talk radio here
in terms of locally.
Mm-hmm. Tiki certainly was. He was here with BT. Do you think the next day... We were all talking about what a wonderful season it was.
I was.
Were you really?
Yeah, because the season came out of nowhere and I had no expectations.
You know what? I'm disgusted by everybody.
But that doesn't mean I haven't, like...
You weren't angry?
Of course. Did you just witness me do this with the Rangers? I was angry. I said, we'll never win a championship again. Remember how negative and down and dumb? It depends on the year and it depends on the team.
How many hours did it take you to spin the Giants? Like, was it within a day?
I woke up the next morning. I had myself a little green tea, put a little Pop-Tart on the toaster, and I said, you know what? We got something here with this coach.
Okay, I want to counter this with one thing that's very, very important. In 2015, the New York Mets were projected to be a 500 team. The 2015 Mets had the same over-under as this Met team.
Wow.
Okay, I just want you to have those facts and know this. The Mets had not made the playoffs in 2014. They were under 500. So they had similar expectations, even if like the roster was constructed differently and you know, things were different. The Mets obviously had a wonderful regular season. They had a lot of ups and downs, very similar to this season. They were basically a 500 team at the trade deadline. They make the trade for Yoenis. They take off. They win the division. They beat the Dodgers in a classic five-game series. They sweep the Chicago Cubs. They're in the World Series. All unexpected. And again, based on the odds, I would argue, very similar to this year in terms of the expectations. When they lost that World Series to the Kansas City Royals, I still haven't gotten over it. Like, I'm being honest with you.
I could tell. Okay. You want the revenge game.
Okay. Does that not make sense?
Well,
like,
but
if I put it in those terms.
That's the final round. You said losing game seven to the Phillies.
Oh, so the round matters?
I do. I think once you actually get to the final battle. And it's the World Series, the Super Bowl. I do think that because that's when you say, I don't know if I'll ever get back. But if it's an unexpected run where you can see that it's the beginning of something with a core group of guys and you fall short, I think your immediacy is preparing for that. By the way, his Knicks honeymoon, I got news for you. If they have the same fallout this year, he ain't going to have any.
They had the same fallout last year. They lost in the same round.
Well, again, they didn't lose this year, though.
Jesus.
Attrition.
I think we all kind of agree this year felt like the first Nick year.
Really. All right, so you're saying if the Mets lose in the divisional series. Okay, so, Lugie, let me clear this up then. They lose in the World Series to the Yankees. Are you going to be devastated or are you going to spin it within a day?
I will spin it within a day.
All right.
It is my duty.
Well, that's where I disagree.
Well, he's lost.
Okay, but this idea that they can't get back is absurd.
I never said they can't get back. I'm saying you don't know if you're going to get back. And to assume that you are is the ignorance of being a sports fan. You don't know if you're going to get back.
So I should quit. No one's saying quit.
Never said any of that stuff. When the Giants lost the Super Bowl in 2000, I'm sure Tiki was devastated thinking, I expect to get back. I believe in my team. I don't know if I will. And
no, you
didn't.
Go ahead. We have Francisco Lindor news.
Okay, go ahead.
Francisco Lindor is going to work out pregame and is not ruling out the possibility he will be a player off the bench tonight.
How about that?
Oh,
that's a positive sign.
Good, big, big positive sign.
So Lindor, who is not in the lineup tonight, and that was kind of put out there about 2 hours ago, early on in the show, is at least telling you I may be available off the bench. Quick question.
Yeah?
It's a good one. I've seen the New York Met lineup. If you haven't, I'll give it to you very, very quickly, just so you know what we're dealing with. Iglesias, Nimmo, Marte, Alonso, Winker, Vientos, Taylor, Alvarez, and Acuna. Who are you pinch hitting for? Now, the Braves have a few lefties out of the bullpen, so I think the ideal scenario that jumps out at me is pinch hitting for Jesse Winker, and Lindor stays in as the DH. That's the guy where it jumps out at me, especially if a lefty is on the mound. So,
yeah, you got to leave Acuna.
Unless Lindor can play shortstop. Unless, I guess, Eddie Alvarez can come in.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's the spot.
Right.
So I think what you're looking at is if Lindor does come in off the bench, you're looking at after Alonso and before Vientos in that Jesse Winker spot. So that's certainly positive. More on that coming up. Sean's got a Cinco de Five-O list. We'll also get you set for the New York Yankees today because the New York Yankees are about to clinch the American League East, and we're all over it.